This morning we're going to continue in our series, Words from the Cross. In Scripture we have seven words that Jesus spoke, or seven statements from the cross. And today we're going to look at the third statement. It's been said that actually people are like tea bags. Just looking around the room, and I can see a few tea bags here. It's said that actually you never know what they're like until they're in hot water and you give them a squeeze. And I think it's true that when we're under pressure, we act differently, especially when we're in pain. I grew up in a house where my dad was a severe asthmatic and ended up in a wheelchair. The steroids he took actually destroyed his bones, and he was constantly in pain. And at times he was quite subdued. Other times you could see actually he got quite angry. And I think when we're in pain, we do respond differently, don't we? Sometimes we do find ourselves getting angry. Perhaps there are tears, or sometimes we get very short-tempered, become restless, we don't sleep at night. And so actually, pain can change us. And today we're going to think about the fact that Jesus was in pain upon the cross. And how did he respond? What was he like in the pain that he suffered? Because what we need to realize is that actually on the cross, Jesus was in agony. Cicero described crucifixion as the most cruel and hideous of tortures. And people who were crucified went through immense pain. And we know that for Jesus, it wasn't just his crucifixion. We're told that before he was crucified, that he was flogged by Roman soldiers. He was mocked. He had a crown of thorns put upon his head. And his back would have been like a plowed field. And some of his organs would have been exposed because they used a whip which had nine tails, the cat of nine tails, and it would have had bits of bone and metal in it. And we know that even before the cross, Jesus suffered greatly. Then he had to carry the beam of the cross to the place of crucifixion. And as Jesus was crucified, as they put nails through his wrists, as they put a nail through his both of his feet, Jesus would have been in absolute agony. And there on the cross, as they dropped it into his socket, all his bones would have been put out of joint. And then Jesus hung there for 6 hours, dying in immense pain. It's said that crucifixion is like 1,000 deaths. And that's what Christ went through. And from this pain, from this agony, we know that he spoke. And this morning, we're going to look at the third statement. And I'm going to read to you, and it's found in John chapter 19. I'm going to read verse 23 to 27. And this is what the disciple John wrote. He said, "When the soldiers crucified Jesus, they took his clothes, dividing them into four shares, one for each of them, with the undergarment remaining. This garment was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. 'Let's not tear it,' they said to one another. 'Let's decide by lot who will get it.' This happened that the scripture might be fulfilled, which said, 'They divided my garments among them and cast lots for my clothing.' And this is what the soldiers did. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, 'Dear woman, here is your son.' And to the disciple, 'Here is your mother.' From that time on, this disciple took her into his home." And today we're going to think about this cry of compassion. Here is Jesus dying on a cross in immense pain. And what we find actually is Jesus is not just thinking about himself. As he looks out at the people, at the crowd, he looks down. He sees his mother. He sees John, the disciple. And it's said there, because it says actually, if you read it, it says this is the disciple Jesus loved. And John in his gospel never mentioned himself by name. And on six occasions, he uses the phrase, the disciple who Jesus loved. And he was talking about himself. And so here at the cross is Mary, his mother, and is John the disciple, the one that he loved, and he speaks directly to them, and he speaks words of compassion. He speaks from the heart to them. Even though he's suffering so much, his heart is for other people. As I said, this is the third statement from the cross. Even in the first two statements, we see that Jesus speaks to others. He speaks to the soldiers and he says, forgive me. Forgive them, Father, for they don't know what they're doing. He speaks to the man on the cross and he says to him, today you will be with me in paradise. And so here Jesus speaks to his mum and to John the disciple. I'm sure we've all heard of the statement, testamentary deposition. And looking around the room and everybody's going, yes, I know what that is. Amen. Thank you, brother. But it's when somebody makes a will, the last will and testament. That's what you would kind of recognize. And people write down what they're going to do. They're going to give all their money to the cat's home, or they're going to give to their grandchildren their collection of gnomes. But people are making a will and deciding what they're going to do. And here, in a sense, Jesus speaks. And he gives John and Mary, he gives them his last wishes. And he says, this is what I want you to do. And George Beasley Murray, who's a theologian, says, even those who were crucified under the Romans had the right to make testamentary depositions, even from the cross. And this is what Jesus is doing. He is saying, this is what I want for you too. And what I want to do this morning is I'm going to break my sermon into two sections. And we're going to have some prayer and worship in the middle, because I think there are two really significant things in this message that I want to bring across. The first thing is the cry of compassion. Jesus is in agony, the depth of pain, and yet he still feels the pain of others. If we go back to the Gospel of Luke, and we look very early on in the Gospel of Week, we see in chapter 2 that Jesus is taken by Mary and Joseph, and they visit Jerusalem and they visit Simeon. And there, Simeon prophesies over the child. But he also says to Mary, a sword will pierce your heart. And this is the moment the sword pierces her heart. The son that she loved, the boy she gave birth to, is dying on a cross. And he is innocent. He hasn't done anything wrong. Can you imagine the pain that she is feeling? The son that she loves, the savior of the world, is dying in front of her. And there is nothing that she can do. And Jesus looks down at her, and his heart goes out to her. And the same for John, because John and Jesus seem to have this very special bond. And here Jesus speaks to him as well. And he says to Mary, this is your son. And he says to John, this is your mother. And here we see the compassion and the love of Christ, even though he is facing pain. He is facing separation from his father. He is facing death, and yet he feels something for others. And I want to say to you this morning, actually, Jesus hasn't changed. And the Jesus that we see here on the cross is the one who is still full of love and compassion for others. And if you know anything of the story of Jesus, you'll know that time and time again, people came to him. People came to him and he didn't turn them away. But he showed them love. And he brought healing into their lives. He touched them. He freed them from demons. He freed them from sin. He freed them from the suffering they were enduring. And I want to say two things this morning. Firstly, that God understands and sees the pain that you're in. We have talked about Alan this morning. We know that Alan, you know, is a tremendous guy. He's a fantastic Christian. But he's suffering. There are other people in our church who've been bereaved. There are people, you know, maybe you sat on your settee, you're going, yep, there's stuff happening in my life. And it's really hard. And actually, when you say to people, you're fine, that is not true. You're not fine. And what I want to say to you this morning is that Christ sees and understands your suffering. And that's so clear in Scripture, that God knows our lives. It says in Psalm 121, God sees our comings and our goings. He knows what's happening to us. And we know that actually Christ understands pain and suffering because he's been there. And his heart goes out to you because he knows what it's like to suffer. And the second thing I want to say to you this morning is that God wants to bring you comfort today. Just as Jesus looked down, literally looked down at his mother and John, and he wanted to bring them comfort, God wants to bring you comfort today. He wants to know, you to know and hear his word. He wants you to feel his touch upon your life because it will make a difference. And what we're going to do now is we're going to pray. I'm just going to pray over you this morning that actually you would know the comfort of God. You would hear the voice of God in the things that you are struggling with, the things that you are suffering. And I'm going to pray this morning that actually God touches your life. And once I pray, we're then going to sing. And we're just going to sing a song which says, "Come to the altar." Because Jesus gave us that wonderful invitation. He said, "Come to me, all who are weary, all who are burdened, and I will give you rest." You see, Christianity is not just what goes on in our head, but it's what happens in our heart. And I believe today the Spirit of God wants to reach out and touch your heart this morning, that you are comforted, that you know the touch of Christ, you hear his voice, and that he blesses you. So let's pray, shall we? Just for a moment, just take a moment as you are before God to tell God what is happening, the things you're struggling with, the things you are finding so hard at this time. Just reach out in prayer now. Tell the Lord what you need. Lord, we want to thank you that even on the cross, you are concerned for the welfare and the needs of others. That you spoke your words over them, that you demonstrated your love. And I pray this morning for those who are at home, Father, those who are struggling at this point, Father, for those who feel broken, for those who have fear about their future, Lord, just touch them now. Father, for those who are struggling with sin, perhaps addictions, Lord, just touch them. Be what they need. Lord, as we come to you now, touch our lives, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. Some words from Scripture, which I think particularly are poignant for some. In Isaiah it says, "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze." Isaiah 41 says, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." And just going back to what Emma read at the beginning, I think these are very important words too. "For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us." Christ loves us. He died for us. And he wants to minister to us today. I need to move on because today's sermon is two parts, not 3 points, but two parts. And I want to pick up something else, which I think is really found in this scripture. So Jesus has spoken to his mother. Here is your son. And to John, here is your mother. Very simple statements. But actually, Jesus is kind of, this is the last words of Jesus. And he's sorting out, on a human level, he is really sorting out family life, isn't he? He's saying, you know, let's get this sorted. But it's quite interesting when we think about what Jesus was doing. He was doing something very much on a human level, wasn't he? He was tidying up family affairs. But what is really interesting is that actually, Jesus was passing on something that actually his family should have been doing. You see, Jesus was the oldest son. Joseph had died. So Jesus was responsible for his mother. But he had other brothers. He had younger brothers, and we read that in Scripture. So what he should have been doing was saying to his younger brothers, well, actually, you know, it's your turn to take over looking after mum. But he didn't. And it's interesting that Jesus says to John, here is your mother. But actually, what we do know from Scripture, that his mother was actually at the cross. So we know at the cross, and it is listed in John's Gospel, it says there was Mary, Jesus' mother. There was her sister, which was a lady called Salome, who was married to Zebedee, who was John and James's mother. So in fact, we know that Jesus was cousin to John and James. And here, John and James's mum is actually at the cross with Mary, married to Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. So there were four women at the cross. And so what Jesus is saying is, actually, John, here is your mother. But his mother was already there. So what is Jesus doing? And here I think there is something really significant. Because what Jesus was doing was he was actually creating community, a new community, a community that was linked by himself. He was creating church by saying to John, this is your mother, take him home. And so John would have been taking him home. Probably John was a teenager, so actually he was taking him home to live with his mum and dad. But he was looking after her. Jesus was creating community. And this morning, I just want to encourage us to think about the fact that actually we are part of that community, that we, all of us, are connected by the blood of Christ. We have become brothers and sisters in Christ, and we have a responsibility to care and love for each other. And this morning, I just want to give you three words, which I think are really important about that kind of community that God wants us to have. And the first one is that God wants us to be a loving community. Jesus loved us and gave himself for us. That's what Scripture says. And it also says in Scripture that we are to love God with all our heart, but actually we are to love one another. We are called to be a loving community. And my hope and my prayer is that we as a church, as the people of God's people in Buckskin, we are that kind of community. And we see evidence of it time and time again. We need to be a loving community. But also, we need to be a bearing community. And what do I mean by that? That's a very strange kind of word, isn't it? To be a bearing. I'm sure some of you enjoy watching Miranda. And Miranda's got a friend called Tilly who keeps saying, bear with, bear with. And, you know, some people think, well, that's a great statement, isn't it? But actually, bear with was a statement that the Apostle Paul wrote long before Tilly ever kind of took hold of it. Because we are called to bear with one another. And that means that we are to carry one another's burdens. We are to come alongside one another and practically demonstrate the love of Christ. To support one another. To speak into one another's lives. Whether you know, we're doing well or whether we're not doing well, we are called to bear with each other. To literally lift one another up and walk with each other. And surely in today's society, that's what we need, isn't it? We talk so much talk about well-being. People are struggling, and what we need is we need people to come alongside us and to practically walk with us, to encourage us in our faith, to speak the word of God into us, to bring the voice of the Holy Spirit into our lives. And sometimes that will be to push us on, maybe sometimes to correct us. But you see, we are a call to be a community who bear with one another. And I just, that is found in Colossians. It says in Colossians, it says, bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have one against one another. So Paul puts it in the context of forgiveness. It talks about the same thing in Ephesians and Galatians. So Paul wanted the church to bear with one another. And that is God's call to us today. And I just ask you the question, what are you doing to help and support others? You see, the more we do it, I believe the more others will come alongside us and bear with us. And then just lastly, I want to talk about caring. Caring's the third one, isn't it? We are called to care for one another. And I just want to say, I think that goes beyond just bearing. I think actually caring comes into that practical ways that we can actually help one another. Things that we can do to show the love of Christ, to walk with people. And that may be practical gestures. It may mean that we're giving something to others. It may be that we're giving them a helping hand. It may be that we are speaking to people's lives. You see, God wants us to demonstrate his love to each other in the church. I mean, that means we are called to love, we are called to bear, and we are called to care. As you read the book of Acts, you see the church in action. And you see that actually within the life of the church, it says very powerfully that no one was in need. What a challenge for the church today. Are we caring, showing the love of God, bearing with each other so that no one is in need? We, as a church, have had a number of conversations, or some of us, a number of conversations with agencies outside of the church. And we're talking about well-being and how the church can practically show the love of God with others. Been speaking to one of the local health partnerships and just talking about social prescribing. And what they're saying is people don't need the medicine. What people need is they need support. They need people to come alongside them, to journey with them, to speak into their lives, to bring them encouragement. And I believe that's something that church can offer. But perhaps what we need to do is we need to start within the life of the church to show each other that, and then we can expand it out. Jesus spoke to his mum and to his sister. He showed them his love, but he also created community. And I believe that's a call to the church today, because we have been separated, haven't we, for so long. This is a year. We've been doing this for a year, separated from one another. And as we come back, what my heart's desire as pastor is that actually we learn once again to really come alongside each other and walk with each other, to carry each other's burdens. I want to finish by just pointing to you at the very end, just what John said. John said this. He said, near the cross of Jesus stood his mother's sister, Mary, wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. Near the cross is where they were. Near enough to see, near enough to experience, and near enough to hear. And it's my prayer for each of us that actually, as we come to this Easter time, that we will draw near to the cross. And we will see afresh. we will see the love of Christ demonstrated as he suffered, as he bled and he died. We will just see how much God loves us. But also, we will hear his voice, the voice of love and the voice of compassion and the voice of command that we are to go and share this love with others. I just want to finish with some familiar words found in a wonderful hymn, "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross." When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss, and pour contempt on all my pride. Forbid it, Lord, that I should boast, save in the death of Christ my God. All the vain things that charm me most, I sacrifice them to his blood. See from his head, his hands, his feet, sorrow and love flow mingled down. Did e'er such love and sorrow meet, or thorns compose so rich a crown? Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were a present far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. Let's pray, shall we? Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. And Lord Jesus, we consider the cross. And we think about your pain and your suffering. And Lord, we cannot imagine what you went through for each of us. But we thank you that you did. We thank you for your blood shed for us. We thank you for your death. And we thank you that you gave yourself completely so that we might have life. And Lord, I pray for each of us that we might live a life that is worthy of your suffering and of your death. Lord God, I want to thank you that Jesus came and died for us, but he is alive today, interceding for us at your right hand. And I do pray, Lord, again, pray for those who are struggling today. Lord, touch their lives. Speak to them. Bring them encouragement. Bless them. May your Spirit be working in them. But I do pray, Father, that you would help each of us to become part of your loving community, where we bear with one another, where we care deeply for each other, and we love each other as much as we love you. Lord God, we thank you for the cross. May we appreciate it afresh, and may we learn to live as Christ wants us to. And we pray it now in his name. Amen.